most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us all here today. Please be with our military. Please be with our residents. Please be with our city staff. Please guide this meeting this evening. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldrich.
Here.
Councilmember Layman.
Here.
Councilmember Grant.
Here.
Councilmember Pierce.
Here.
Councilmember Wilson.
Here.
Councilmember Acevedo.
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right, item 5, citizens' participation. We have several individuals signed up this evening. Alejandro Lopez on agenda item ENF, do you want to speak now or would you like to wait to that agenda item?
Yeah, I'll wait.
Okay. Fernando De Leon regarding CNG. All right. Sharon regarding 9D, 9E, and 9F. Okay. Charlene Wyatt, 9D, 9E, 9F. Okay.
Okay, about the property on Springfield, the 9D. I don't have a problem with the dispatching of trucks. Depending on the kind of equipment he wants to store, that's something else, but I'm totally against any materials being stored there because we don't know what kind of materials. Is it going to be new? Is it going to be something they pulled off a job site? It could be contaminated. If it's dirt, caliche, whatever, then it's blowing in everybody's yards, in my house. So I'm against any materials being stored on the yard. On E, about the E and F, the concrete batch plant, no, I don't want to have to listen to that because we all know concrete doesn't go from 8 to 5. Most concrete places are on the job site to pour concrete before daylight, so that means they're going to be there in the middle of the night getting their concrete. Residents don't need to be putting up with that. We're working people. Plus, we don't need the dust from all the concrete, from the sand and stuff they're going to use. And I'm against a silo that's 55 foot tall because people are going to see that coming in the curb and go, well, what is that? So I'm saying no to that also. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next, we have BJ Voigt regarding 9E and 9F. The public hearing? Okay. The next one we have is Boy Scout Troop 1412, the Eagle Project. You were on the agenda, so do you want to just wait for that, I presume? Yes? Okay. All right. And then next is Chris Garza, and I can see Springfield, but I'm sorry, I don't know which ordinance. Is it 5704?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Council, Mayor, good to see you guys. Today, I would like to discuss with you the ordinance that was brought to my attention about our trash cans. It's Ordinance 5704. I see two major issues with this ordinance that I would like to have amended. First, in Section A, it states that the containers must be at a location even with or behind the front wall of the building being served. I would like to see this ordinance to include placing your containers in front of the building being served as well, so that residents can be in compliance when placing their cans in front of their garages or at the base of their driveways, down or touching their houses. This would help residents who roll their trash cans down their driveways to be able to do so neatly or do so and neatly keep their trash bins against their houses, behind their parked vehicles, at the base of their driveways. I would also like to talk about Section B of that ordinance as well, 5704, which states refuse, recyclable containers for residential solid waste collection shall be put for collection no earlier than 8 p.m. on the night immediately preceding the collection days. And I would like to see that amended to 4 p.m. rather than 8 p.m. In that, it would allow residents more time to move their cans to the curb so they could be in compliance. This would help residents who may work overnight shifts or give residents the option to move their cans to the curb immediately once they get home from work before they clean up to eat dinner and settle in for the night. 8 p.m. seems a little late for elderly folks or families that may already have their kids and themselves in pajamas at the time when they are moving their trash cans out to the curb, and it may be really inconvenient. The ordinance is late for residents, and I believe it should be changed. I ask that you put this on the next meeting's agenda to amend this ordinance. Also, last thing, I would like to speak on the Springfield businesses and let you know that having to live behind a trucking business or a cement batch plant is wrong. And I, along with many others, are against it. So please consider the people that live near and would have to look at the silo, deal with the dust, the noise of the cement batch plant, as well as the trucking company that they want to place there. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
And I will comment as far as Republic Service, not for discussion, but just to let you know, as soon as Republic Service entertains a meeting with us, that's actually one of the things that will be on the agenda. So unless it's next agenda, that ordinance will not be on the agenda until we can get everything straight on that.
Okay.
All right. The next one is Michael Martin. Sorry, it was number 8. Drainage between Vinecrest and Autumn.
Mayor, Council, the neighbors, they couldn't make it and asked me to bring this up to you. They want to thank Gilbert Solis for pumping it out. The last time it was holding water, stagnant water, mosquito infestation. They want to know if Bexar County is still responsible for that, or is the city of Kirby responsible for the drainage of that ditch between Vinecrest and Autumn Lane. They say something needs to be done about it. They can't call Gilbert every time it's holding water to come pump it out. They'd like to see it addressed, you know, whether it's up to us, the city of Kirby, or Bexar County. And, you know, it's just a nuisance for the neighbors back here. They said they can't even go in their yards. The mosquitoes are so bad. I mean, I live across the street and I have big mosquitoes, but they're not like they are there. But they asked me to bring it up to y'all.
Thank you.
And they'd like to know an answer sooner or later. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so that concludes everyone signed up that wants to defer to the items themselves. So we will come back to the rest of the individuals signed up to speak this evening. Item 6, consideration of an action on minutes. 6A is the regular meeting minutes of September 26th. I will entertain a motion.
Can we do a motion for both?
I think people are gone.
Got it. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the regular meeting minutes of September 26th of 2019.
Second. We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Audrey, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to accept the regular meeting minutes of September 26th. All in favor, please raise your right hand. Item 6B, regular meeting minutes, October 10th, 2019. I will entertain a motion.
Make a motion. We accept the regular meeting October 10th.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Lehman, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept the regular meeting minutes of October 10th. All in favor, please raise your right hand.
Abstain.
All right, items 7, A, and B, the consent agenda for the approval of quarterly financial report for period ending June 30th, 2019, and the approval of quarterly investment report for period ending June 30th, 2019. to 019, I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion to accept the quarterly financial report for period ending June 30th, 2019.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson. Are you doing both or just one?
Well, if we could do both together, I'll go for both.
Yes.
Okay.
We can.
Also, approve a quarter investment report ending June 30th. Does it repeat? Is it not a double line, or am I not reading correctly?
One's a financial, one's investment.
That would help with a lot of difference, wouldn't it? That would go for the quarterly also. Pardon me. Getting old and blind. What can I tell you?
Does your second still stand? All right, so we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand. All right, item 8A, presentation by the VFW Boy Scout Troop 1412 Eagle Scouts and Scout Master Michael Rios, thanking the City Council for support of Eagle Scout projects. The floor is yours.
Hi, my name is Alejandro Rios. I am from Troop 1412, and I'm here on behalf of my troop to let you know that we are very thankful for allowing our troop to operate within Kirby and allowing us to give back to this community through our Eagle projects and our community service projects as well. My fellow scouts will go over a brief history that we have had here with Kirby in the short time that we have been here, and then talk to you about some of the projects that we have done.
Very good.
Richard?
Hi, to further go on Hondo's, we would like to, we're having an Eagle Scout ceremony January 18th. We would like to invite the whole student Kirby Council to join. It will be at the VFW. With the history of our troop, we've stayed in the Kirby city of Kirby for a long time. We try to stay in the city of Kirby throughout all difficulties. At first, we started at the Candlewood Elementary School. Then we later on went to a Calvary Church in the city of Kirby. And then after the Calvary Church, we decided that we wanted to change our location, so we went to the Kirby Friendship Park. For the Kirby Friendship Park, we stayed there for 2 to 3 years, and we really loved working with the city of Kirby, and we started planning things for our Eagle Scout project there. After this, we decided to move to the VFW, and that's where we've stayed, and we had 3 scouts who did the Eagle Scout projects with the city of Kirby, and hopefully one more. And here's Darren.
So nationwide, only 6% of Boy Scouts could call themselves Eagle Scouts. But thanks to y'all's time and contribution, 83% of our troop will be able to become Eagles.
Very good.
I will now go over the Eagle Scout projects in order. First was Alejandro Rios. He had made a pergola at the senior center, building it from the ground up. I was the second with refurbishing and replacing any boards on the benches at Kirby Friendship Park. And that goes down to sanding, a little bit of welding and painting. And Richard, he is the third. He built a pergola at the Senior Friendship Park, also from the ground up.
I will go over the last scout, the last two actually. So up next was Darren, and he had created 8 benches at Friendship Park. He had built it ground up from himself, buying all the supplies and paint that he needed, and he created them himself using schematics that he made. Lastly, I am the last scout before I become an Eagle Scout. I'm currently doing my project as of now, I will be building 3 benches, installing them to the concrete slabs that we are making. I'm making the concrete slabs as well. It's 3 10 by 10 by 4s, and with additional 2 4 by 4s for trash cans. And this is at, it was at the park adjacent to the senior center. As of right now, I have just gotten my approval from Scout Council saying that I can begin my project. So this coming November, November 2nd and 3rd, I will begin the process of building the project, and I will come back following meetings and report to you on how I'm doing and what is going on. And that's all for right now, so thank you.
Once again, I would like to thank Kirby for having us here throughout the years. And really, what else can we say other than thank you, really? There's really nothing else to say but thank you. And like my friend Richards here said, we are having a ceremony for all of our Eagle Scouts that should be getting that rank by November, my bad.
January.
Well, no, I'm saying when all of them are going to get it, and then the ceremonies. It'll be by then.
Do you have a time for that ceremony? Do you have a time for the ceremony yet?
12 o'clock.
12 o'clock.
That's a weekend, right? Saturday.
It's Saturday.
Well, young men, may I say something to all of y'all?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much for being here. It's very nice.
We appreciate the fact that we know that you can utilize other areas to do those Eagle projects, so we are very thankful that you guys have chosen to stay here and that you've found a way to continue, you know, the Boy Scouts here in Kirby. So thank you very much for always finding a way to stay. Thank you. If anybody has sons that are interested in Scouts, please see these gentlemen. Thank you again. Item 8B, reports by council members and staff on their experiences during the 2019 TML conference. In no particular order, whoever wants to start.
I got to ride a seesaw.
To ride a what?
The coolest seesaw you ever saw in your life. I'm serious. It was so safe for the kids. I mean, it wasn't like just a board that goes this way. It had a seat. It was really cool. Yeah. I even got it. Well, somebody took a picture, but that's beside the point. But truthfully, the whole conference was a good experience. Again, I've been to them before. But every time it's something new, we looked at a lot of different things that would benefit our city. We looked at a situation. Matter of fact, one of the gentlemen lives here for the dog park, for the, I guess you would say, the layout for exercise. And I don't know if he's contacted Monique, but they've done here work for us before. They put in a playground. And that, I think, would be really great for us. You know, it's kind of neat to walk around and meet people from other cities, get other ideas, see how things work. There is one situation that I kind of feel is going to be a little critical, and that's House Bill 202. We went to a seminar for that, and I don't know who thought it up, but it's going to limit our income quite a bit, in not this fiscal year we just approved, but the year after. And we're going to have to do some belt tightening and look at the situation. But all in all, it was a good experience. Thank you.
Well, one of the things that I was looking at was for playground equipment for the park for special needs children. But everything is quiet, pricey during that time. And came home with some booklets on it. And then some people have asked me to look for Christmas decorations. And so the people who sell the city stuff was out there. So I got some booklets on that. But you're looking at a 20-foot Christmas tree for $15,000. And I myself wouldn't want my city to pay $15,000 for a tree for 2 weeks. So, but then with Mike, we went to the tax bill. And I don't know where the people come up with this idea, but we're going to be hurting next year. And every department head needs to realize that your wish list and what will need and your needs are going to have to really be limited this year. But that's it.
Jerry?
Well, I brought back information. I really didn't see any of the meetings that was worth going to, because we had two council members or three of them making the same meeting. But I brought back information, and I gave it all to Gilbert. One of them was to do with paving equipment, which we all know we need that help here in Kirby. The other one was our water tower tanks, the maintenance on them. This company also dealt with rebuilding and installing the generators and the pumps for those tanks. So this was all information that hopefully we can use down the line. I did talk to a couple of gentlemen. I think Mike and I stood there and talked to one of them for 30, 40 minutes. We're still looking in the EDC program. We're still looking for somebody to help us in a builder-developer type of atmosphere. And this one gentleman seemed pretty interested in bringing us some information, bringing us a builder-developer. So we'll see how that flows out. If he comes through, we'll sit down with him and the city manager and the EDC program and see if we can't get something started as far as our commercial building that we dearly need to progress here in the city of Kirby. That's really all I had.
Councilmember Apodaca?
I went to a presentation. It was the legal Q&A, and there were a couple of things that stood out to me, but one of them about council members getting onto Facebook, and I didn't realize this, but if council members get on the same Facebook page and start answering and interacting, we actually form a quorum. So I wasn't really aware of that. I didn't catch that. And also another thing that I thought was interesting that would be an asset to the community was rounding up our water bill. That money can be donated to a local nonprofit, or it can be used here in the city if that money is donated to a nonprofit. So I thought that was a good idea because it's only going to round up your water bill a few pennies. So I thought that was a good idea. But and another thing was the special needs equipment for the playgrounds. They had a lot of books on that, and I grabbed a few of those. But
so what was the rounding up the water bill?
Mm-hmm. So, is that what you said? The water bill.
Mm-hmm. And then it's to...
We can donate that money to a nonprofit, and it can be a local nonprofit.
When you pay your water bill, you round it up?
No, I get that. Oh. But as far as the groups that it goes, how do you determine?
It has to be a nonprofit, and I don't know what the...
I was just curious how, you determined, that piece of it. Interesting.
I guess we would, maybe.
But I thought it could go to somewhere here in the community. And
absolutely.
Yeah, that was a good idea.
Is there information on that?
Yeah, I didn't bring my notes with me.
Oh,
but
no, that's
I have
fine.
It.
If you can pass that on.
Okay.
Or you may have that, I don't know. You may already have that information. No.
Protect freedom of speech. One of the things that I really need to look at for the city now is records retention applying to social media, because that was a big thing that they said is that now social media is subject to the Records Retention Act, which is going to be challenging for cities who have multiple social media sites that people are commenting on and posting on. So now you're going to have to find a way to save those, and we're going to have to add that to our records retention policy so that the city secretary knows how long we have to keep them, and in what format, and when we can destroy them, where we want to store them. So I was doing research on that.
Who else? Were you it? You were it? Okay.
Right.
Not it.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you all for volunteering your time to go to those events. And hope that there's some information. I know that we've said in years past that a lot of the items that are there at those are really for large cities that have lots of revenue and not really a base that is more to the residential tax base. So hopefully we'll be able to find some of those things that will assist our city. All right, item 8C, presentation of donations to the City of Kirby departments. Ms. B. J. Voigt, if some of you may remember that during the citywide garage sale, BJ had come up with an idea to have a way to raise monies for city departments.
My name is BJ Voigt, and during the Kirby Community Garage Sale, I donated part of my proceeds for Santa on the fire truck when he throws out candy, which there's about 6 bags. The Kirby Police Department does Blue Santa. I always buy all year long and buy at discount. So I had a lot of this already bought, which I normally donate to all three of these organizations out of my pocket all year long. And then the cat litter. It's for the animal shelter. This was all done by me, and I did have only three residents that did donate some stuff so I could raise money to present this. And this is not something that was on there, but I've been trying to help this Boy Scout troop get some stuff donated. And this is my donation from my garage sale for y'all for part of your, to buy some of your stuff. I'm still working on trying to get my old boss to get y'all some of your stuff donated. And I will let y'all know. I will keep it your mother. Oh, okay. I even invited her to bring her stuff over to my house during the garage sale. So I did try to help in all kinds of different ways. So thank y'all.
Thank you, BJ. Thank you, BJ.
About a strange looking group. I bet you the chief goes to the back. I bet you the chief goes to the back.
Much appreciated. All right, at this time I will close our regular meeting at 7:32 and open the public hearing on 9A on a request for a variance to the building code section 150.16 to waive the requirement of the installation of an automatic sprinkler system in a 1,850-square-foot commercial building located at CB 4018, Lot 13, otherwise known as 5402 Old Seguin Road, Kirby, Texas. This public hearing is for the public that's in attendance. This is not for council discussion, so if there is anyone in the audience, these items are also on the agenda for discussion for council, but this is for the public hearing, so if there's anybody in the audience that wishes to speak on this item, please take the podium and speak your name.
Hello, my name is Americo Chapa. I'm the owner of the lot, and the reason why I wanted to get that Darian's excuse is because the building is not very big, and it's all going to be made from a non-combustible material. And not only that, but here in Kirby we have some of the best water throughout San Antonio, Shirts, Cibolo. We have some of the best water here. So we want to preserve the quality. So if you don't need something that's not necessary in a building like that, it's really going to help out the water system that we have within, let's say, 10 years from now. In 10 years from now, we're going to continue having the good quality of water that we have. I've been living here most of my life. I have kids here, and I want to see them enjoying a good quality of water as well.
What is the business associated?
It's going to be built. It's not.
What business will be in there, sir?
It's just going to be an office, a small office. Right now I'm doing everything inside my house. But I have four kids, and they're jumping all over the place. Sometimes they go into my little office, They grab all the papers and everything and throw them. So my house is way too small. I need something, you know. I need your help in this one.
I mean, what type of business?
Right. We'll be discussing.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
No problem.
And you'll have another opportunity to answer those questions as well.
Okay.
Is there anybody else who wishes to speak on this item? Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Sandra Senior here in Kirby. Building may be non-combustible, but what about its contents? I don't think water quality has anything to do whether or not there is a sprinkler system or not. Sprinkler system is for personnel safety. If there's anybody in the building, it will help them get out quicker without getting burned. If at night, may not save everything, but it will slow a fire down until the fire department can get there. Sprinkler systems were designed for a reason, no matter what size the building is. So, personally, I think there should be one. Of course, I don't know the building, I don't know the gentleman, but safety first. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak on this item? Okay, we will move to item 9B. On a request to allow the property located at CB 5941, Block 3, Lot E, 1/2 of 22, otherwise known as 430 Edelin, Kirby, Texas, 78219, which is zoned commercial district C2, to be zoned as multiple family dwelling district R2 property. If there is anyone to speak on this matter, please take the podium. Okay, we will move to 9C. On a request to allow the property located at CB 5191, Lot P20 at P20C, otherwise known as 5526 Seguin Road, Kirby, Texas, 78219, which is zoned commercial office and retail district C1, to be zoned as commercial district C2 property. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to speak on this item?
Hello, my name is Fernando De Leon. My address is 255 Shady View in Balcones Heights, and I'm here representing the owner, Mr. Alvaro Rodriguez, which he purchased the property early this year. And this is about approximately a 2-acre tract that was in a really bad condition. And we purchased the property, Mr. Rodriguez did. We cleaned it up. We also in the process of repairing the fence. And this property has three structures right now. Two of them, which we think it's in really bad condition, and we're planning to demolish them. And the other one, which is the closest to the street, we're planning to make that our office building. We have 10 employees, and one of the reasons we were asking for the C2 is because we have our pickup trucks that we use for our daily work, and they cannot be under C1, they cannot be stored outside. So we're planning to come back and construct some canopies where we could put our trucks underneath. So that's why we're asking for a C2, so we could be allowed to park those pickup trucks that we use for our daily business. We will continue. Our work is we're framers, and so we get hired by home builders to go out to the site and construct new homes. Mostly our work is to construct new homes. If the zoning goes through, we will construct two canopies on the side, close to the street, and then that's where we will park our trucks. So we're asking for your help so we could get the zoning and request the proper permits and certificate of occupancy so we could start our business at this property.
And we'll, if we have questions, we'll come back to you when it's on that agenda item.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on item 9C? Okay, we will move to item 9D on a request to allow the property located at CB4018G Springfield Industrial Park, lot 1, 2, and 3, otherwise known as 1424 Springfield Road, Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned light industrial, to be used for the following purpose: dispatch truck storage of equipment and materials. There are several signed up for this specific item. Do y'all want to speak now or for the actual discussion item? The discussion item? Okay.
My name is Roger Romans, resident of Kirby. Thank you for the opportunity to address this matter. This matter, along with the other ones, these properties are somewhat related. The hauling of materials there, light industrial adjacent to residential property, is poor planning done on the city's part. I don't begrudge the individuals who were looking to set up a business, but the light industrial adjacent to residential property is not a really good mix. Thank you.
Council, thank you for having me. My name is John. I'm the owner of the property. Many of you may have known me or may not know me, but to correct the wording on that piece of paper, we're not a storage facility. The only reason why we have material currently right now is we're doing construction, delay of permits and whatnot, and going through the procedure. As I mentioned maybe a few months back, that's why the material is still there. That yard from 6 a.m., once a truck leaves, is pretty much empty and silent throughout the whole day. So I just want to reiterate that it's not a storage facility. It is a truck parking and a yard right now, but it's not a material storage in place.
All right, is there anybody else for 9D? All right, 9E, on a request to allow the property located at CB4018G Springfield Industrial Park, Lot 6, otherwise known as 1456 Springfield Road, Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned light industrial, to be used for the following purpose: operating a concrete batch plant business on the property. Is there anyone who wishes to speak on this item?
Good evening, Mayor, City Manager. My name is Sharon Schuler. I live at 3110 Buzz Aldrin Drive, and I am against the Springfield Development property. And in regards to the batch plant, I'm against a concrete batch plant located, or proposing to be located, in lot CB4018G, lot 6. Dust, noise of a conveyor belt, noise from concrete trucks, washing out of concrete trucks, along with disrupting the daily routine and life of residents, are reasons why a concrete plant does not belong up against a neighbor's backyard. And if that is not enough reason, perhaps 55.10 from the Code of Ordinances that states concrete plants are prohibited in the city is a good enough reason for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on 9E?
I would like to speak on D, yes, D and E.
We can't. We've already passed D. So we're on E.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. For the concrete batch?
Yes.
Can I start?
Yes, okay. Please. It's a public hearing, so please.
Hi, my name is Alejandro Lopez, and I'm the one that wants to set up the concrete batch plan and the 55 feet silo on lot 6 on industrial on Springfield Road.
Let me stop you. I'm going to open 9E and F at the same time since they're both together. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you for having me here today. And, you know, I can see that it came in a bad time because it's probably like the last lot that's, you know, that's got to be sold. And not just that, because I know there's a lot of previous, you know, issues with the previous owners there in the, you know, in the other lots. But, you know, I didn't come here to step on anyone's toes or, you know, make anyone have a bad day. I just simply saw light industrial and, you know, I took it upon myself to come in here and ask the questions or proper procedures I needed to take in order to make this happen. But if I would have known from the city ordinance or the noise ordinance that batch plans weren't allowed, I wouldn't be here speaking in front of you today, you know. But it just seems like, you know, I understand and respect the concerns of the residents, you know, here because, yeah, it's right in their backyard. But I repeat again, you know, I'm only here because I saw light industrial and I figured it was a good place to put my business to work. Now, I'm willing to put a business here in the city that's going to bring hundreds of thousands of dollars yearly. Okay, and from what I can see, I feel personally more good than bad can come out of this because the noise and the dust and, I mean, there's nothing I can do about the silo. That's, I have to. You know, if I'm approved, I'm going to need that. But the noise, the dust, and other things, there's a solution to that. That can be fixed. You know, I can fix that. But from what I hear is that y'all need some help, contributions, you know, and that's just the type of person I am. I like to help people, you know. I mean, I really do. You know, I heard about the generator or things I got to cut back on, you know, but, I mean, if I have my business running here, I'll be more than happy to contribute to the community, you know, to the people if it's going to help, you know. That's just the type of person I am. Like I said, I understand and respect, you know, a lot of the residents, their suggestions and, you know, their concerns because they do live here. I know I'm the new fish in the sea coming, you know. And I don't want you to, you know, have a bad image of me because I know I can tell y'all dislike Mr. Daniel, you know. But it's not like we hang out at the bar every weekend and, hey, are we going to go mess up Kirby's day to day, you know? It's none of that. I haven't actually talked to him since October 8th, the last meeting we had here, to be honest with you. But that's all I want to say. That's the business I want to set up. I'm willing to work with me and have me here. I'll be more than happy to do business with y'all. And if not, then I will respect your decision and move on. Yes. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone else to speak on 9E and or, sorry, 9E or 9F? Anybody? All right. At this time, I will close the public hearing. at 7:50, and we'll open the regular meeting. Item 10A, 10A, discussion and possible action, receive legal advice concerning specific use permit requests, possible executive session pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071, consultation with attorney. At this time, I will close our regular meeting at 7:50 to go into executive session. Reconvene the open meeting at 8:06 today, Thursday, October 24th, 2019. There was no action taken in executive session. Item 10B, discussion and possible action on Van Zingelman Road reconstruction project. Gilbert.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. The project is moving. They're doing some work. We had some milling done. They've been having some people out there. They went ahead and they installed that water line that we talked about last time. They eliminated the old fire hydrant. However, the new one has not been installed yet. When it does come time for them to install it, they did install the controlling valve so they can isolate that, which it's off right now, and they can just hang the hydrant whenever they're ready. So we are down one hydrant. Fire department. So we're down one hydrant right now, but as soon as they hang it, you know, it'll be back in operation. They'll get thrust blocking and everything on there. They've been adding some base to some areas that were low as far as the driveways at some of the homes. They've done some milling. Right now they're in the stages where they need to do some base repair. Some of the areas, it calls for a 5-inch mill, but also there's subgrade that needs to be restabilized so we don't have those cracks and issues after they install it a year or two later. So they're working on that. The other day they did have a vehicle accident on Gaiety. Just to let you guys know about that, they were driving a front end loader, I believe, and they hit a parked vehicle, and they pushed that parked vehicle into another parked vehicle. Apparently there was something going on. The operator wasn't paying attention to what happened. So that was over on Gaiety. Excuse me? Something. And more likely, especially on equipment, you don't touch your phone because there's so many things that can go wrong. So that's pretty much the update right now. They're going to continue their work. They're doing the base repair. And we're supposed to get some significant rain tonight, so I don't expect to see very much done tomorrow because they should be doing the concrete here pretty soon and getting the curb lined up and then getting the driveways and everything fixed up and ready to be formed and inspected. So that's the extent of it as of now.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. They installed the temporary mailboxes. So it's going to be up to the Postal Service to go ahead and get that situated, get the keys out to everybody.
We got them.
It's okay.
Gilbert, when they did the hydrant work,
mm-hmm.
we were concerned with how long the water was going to be off for our residents. Do you know how long the water was off for our residents?
Was off for a couple of hours. It was pretty much the whole day. What they did was they eliminated that fire hydrant, and they had to cut in a piece of pipe and install the mega lugs and, you know, the mechanical joints and all that. So it was off for a significant.
They first said 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't off for 2 days. It was, and again, like last time when I spoke with you guys, it was a day long job, and I guess they were just trying to cover themselves if they ran into any issues. Which in fact they did. They ran into an old gas line that was not marked. So anytime that you're digging, you know, it's not when in doubt, pull it out. You know, when in doubt, you stop, you know. So they had to stop and then get confirmation that the line was dead, and then they have to, you know, look over a couple other things. I'm going to probably have to get with them next week
before that.
It was unmarked, as in they called and were told that there was nothing there?
Or they hid it?
Well, when they were digging, they saw it. A lot of times when there's a trench line and it's previously disturbed soil and you're digging next to it, sometimes because it's not compacted, the wall will collapse and you'll see what's there. Or they were probably hand digging and found it. Luckily, they didn't hit it. Even an old gas line can pose issues. But
and the locator service didn't mark it because it was inactive.
Yeah.
So what are, you mentioned, obviously we all know that the water, I mean, that the rain is coming, but at Ben Zingelman and Crest, it's been pooling. The water has been pooling. So what are they going to do in order to maintain that, in order to begin work? Because if we have to wait for it to dry out in the rain, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, last time when I talked to them about it, it's not exactly deep enough to stick a pump in there and pump it. But they were trying. They told me they were going to try to move the water out of there, which means they were going to try to get their, I guess their sweeper, sweep it out of there. But they milled it 5 inches, so it's a hole right now. Mm-hmm. So anytime we get rain or anything, the water really has nowhere to go.
That's why I was asking. I just didn't want that to be a reason that, I mean, because even though we haven't had a lot of rain, there's just water sitting.
I mean, there are things they can do. They can set up the lines for the curb. You know, they'll set up the lines to get it all straightened out, situated, the measurements, so they can have the concrete machine go in there and lay out the curbs. There are things that they can do, but they haven't expressed to me what they're going to do.
I guess that's what I'm asking. So if it's something that, when you're out there, is it something that you can highly suggest if the water's just sitting there in order to encourage them to move along? Like I said, I can just see that, oh, sorry, there was a bunch of puddles, we can't move on.
Yeah, I've highly suggested it.
Okay.
So.
Just out of curiosity, the patch further down there by Springfield, did your crew do that?
No, sir.
Who did that? They did a good
job. It was the contractor.
They did?
Yes, sir.
Wrong.
Okay. We'll get to that one in the next one.
I have two things. Have you noticed the dip yet between right next to Allen Shepherd on the first section on Ben Zingelman? If you're driving towards Ackerman, there's a dip, a huge dip in the section on where they just, number one, the section number one.
Phase one.
Dip. And then I am the one who called on their trucks going down my street and turning and zigzagging around. Yesterday when we were out doing our yard work, I almost decided to step out in the middle of the road and stop them, but I got this look from my husband, so I called instead. But we witnessed several of their trucks driving around, and that was all on that one.
I can't explain why they were doing that. The only thing I could possibly say is maybe they were driving around the area looking for signs.
I was trying to clean my yard.
And then since you did bring up Gaiety, that's been another concern for the residents in that area, not just because of the buildup that they're storing, but they are there have been reports of them, you know, going through there speeding just in general. So especially since they're going back and forth, and clearly that was their concern that was going to happen, and it did. So I would presume that they're on heightened alert there now that they've damaged two vehicles, and luckily the gentleman that was sitting in the car was not
a great surprise.
Badly maimed, yes.
Address that.
He was already walking with a cane. Yeah, exactly. So, barring the rain, so what do they say now?
Well, tomorrow we have a project meeting. I think I will not be in attendance tomorrow. I'm in training. However, I will send my foreman out there, and our engineer will be there. As far as an update as to what they might do or what they're going to do tomorrow, I haven't gotten an update on that. But, again, they should be doing something at least with the curbs. They can set up the railings on it to get it poured next week. Last time we had a rain, when I had talked to them about that, asking them, okay, so you're going to have your water crew out there have your concrete crew working on the opposite side of the street. It rained. They had a question on the rain. Did some correspondence with our engineer, and he pointed them in the right direction as to what to do, but they haven't done it. I got a call Monday, I believe, from Roy, and he told me he had 10 guys out there ready to work, but there was issues. But again, I wasn't there to see that. And it was Monday.
Other questions or?
Yeah, they were taking on Monday. They were taking measurements on the road and shooting the grades. So.
Anything else? All right, thanks, Gilbert. Oh, I guess you'll be taking the next one too. All right, item 10C, discussion and possible action on the Hickory Hill Drive reconstruction project.
Yeah, they're actually moving along pretty good. We had to get some base repairs and some extra work done just to for the longevity of the street, which we got passed, and they've been working on that. They went ahead and did some of the ring and covers and put some diamond cuts on there of concrete so they can asphalt around it. And then, but they're moving along, concrete work, driveways. There was a couple concerns with some driveways that were lowered. However, they went and put base on them and addressed it. So they're moving along pretty good. If there's any issues with anything as far as the rain, again, David, their project manager, is pretty good about his correspondence and touching base with me.
Any questions? Okay, thanks. All right, item 10D, discussion and possible action on a request on a variance to the zoning ordinance, single family dwelling district R1, section 153.06 B6A, to consider permitting encroachment into the 5-foot side yard setback due to the construction of a carport located at CB 5092A Block 3, Lot 12, otherwise known as 2012 Hickory Hill, Kirby, Texas. At this time, I will ask a motion to table this item as the public hearing item was inadvertently left off.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to table the discussion and possible action of a request on a variance to the zoning ordinance, single family dwelling and district R-1, section 153. 0.016 B6A2, consider permitting encroachment into the 5-foot side yard setback due to construction of a carport located at CB 5092A Block 3, Lot 12, otherwise known as 2012 Hickory Hill, Kirby, Texas 78219.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to table this item until our next meeting. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes. Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Azadaka?
Yes.
Councilmember
Lena?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Item 10E, discussion and possible action on a request on a variance to the building code section 150.16 to waive the requirement of the installation of an automatic sprinkler system in a 1,850 square foot commercial building located at CB 4018, Lot 13, otherwise known as 5402 Old Seguin Road, Kirby, Texas. You did have a public hearing previously, and you did hear the comments that were made there. Yes, sir.
I was a little bit nervous, and I went through fast. But as I said last time, I'm gonna have an alarm connected to the fire department in case something happens. And also, we'll be using ADT, which they look at everything, even when you're not there. They're going to be looking at if anybody goes through there or whatever, you know, they'll be calling the fire department. or also the police department as well. If there's anything that's strange, or and we will be taking our safety measures as well for everything. Okay. Thanks.
I've got a couple of things on this one.
You want him to stay up there so you can...
Oh, no, okay. No. First of all, it's only a small building. The insides are still combustible. But it may start out as a large building. The current owner may keep it. He may sell it later. He may build onto the building, make it bigger. He may sell it to somebody else, may build on, make it bigger. It's still going to require a sprinkler system. If we make a change to just accept one, we're going to have to make arrangements to accept everyone that comes to us with a small building. I am very against accepting the no sprinklers. That's it.
Is there somebody want to make a motion on this item?
How do y'all quantify QuickTrip not having a sprinkler system in their facility, but somebody dealing with the 1,850 square foot when they have 80,000 gallons to fill the ground?
Are you associated with this? Okay, then unfortunately we can't converse with you about it.
Well, the last time this came up, it was about the same size building, and we made that gentleman put in the sprinkler system. So, you know, and I made the comment, and I accept making the comment, that if you do business here, then what our ordinances require is what you need to do. So I make a motion that we deny the variance.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to deny the request for the variance to the building code to waive the requirement of the installation of an automatic sprinkler in an 1,850 square foot commercial building located at CB 4018, Lot 13, otherwise known as 5402 Old Seguin Road, Kirby, Texas. Is there any further discussion? And we also had another one, like you mentioned, similar to that. Any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Yes. All right, item 10F, discussion and possible action on a request to allow the property located at CB 5941 Block 3, Lot E, one half of 22, otherwise known as 430 Edelin, Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned commercial district C2, to be zoned as multiple family dwelling district R2. Gentlemen here this evening.
Have we not had this one before, right? Mm-hmm. And no one was here to speak to it.
No, Mr. Escobedo was the one that had put in this rezoning request. This isn't for a specific use. It's actually to rezone commercial district C2 to be rezoned as multiple family dwelling district R2. for the purpose of renting a one-bedroom apartment in the back of his home. For just so that you know, as far as District C2 to be zoned as multiple family to District R2, property in an R2 multifamily dwelling district shall be used only for structures incorporating multiple dwelling units and incidental accessory uses. Minimum lot area. The minimum lot area shall be 10,000 square feet for the first three dwelling units, and each additional dwelling unit shall be a minimum of 3,630 square feet. No MF2 development shall exceed a density of more than 12 dwelling units per gross acre. Minimum lot frontage on a public street, internal 100 feet, corner 100 feet, minimum lot depth 100 foot, minimum depth of front setback 25 feet, minimum depth of rear setback shall be 10 feet, there shall be no encroachment or overhang in the required rear yard, minimum width of side setback, internal lot 10 feet, corner lot 15 feet, maximum building coverage as a percentage of lot area 50%, maximum accessory building coverage as a percentage of rear yard 30%, maximum height of structures 45 feet or three stories, whichever is less. So this is not a specific use. This is for a rezoning. I will entertain a motion.
Same thing. We're going down the same road. We put things as commercial property, and then we change it to residential. We just keep taking our commercial property away.
Is that the motion you want to make?
Mayor, I move that we deny the request to allow property located at CB 5941 Block 3, Lot E, one half of 22, otherwise known as 430 Edmund Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned commercial District C2, to be zoned as multiple family District R2 property.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to deny the request to allow the property located at CB 5941 Block 3, Lot E, half of 22, otherwise known as 430 Edelin, Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned commercial district C2, to be zoned as multiple family dwelling district R2 property. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Yes.
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 Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, item 10G. Discussion and possible action on a request to allow the property located at CB 5191, Lot P20 and P20C, otherwise known as 5526 Seguin Road, Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned commercial office and retail district C1, to be zoned as commercial district C2 property. Mr. DeLeon, or would you like to, that way if anyone has any questions?
Mayor, I make a motion to go ahead and accept this for the fact that they can park their vehicles there and enhance their business.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Lehman, to accept the zoning change from commercial office and retail district C1 to be zoned as commercial district C2. Is there any discussion? So when you're talking about parking the trucks, the vehicles, You had mentioned pickup trucks.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that all that's...
Right, we don't have...
Just normal pickup truck with nothing in it, no equipment inside of it, or...
We don't have any, like, 18-wheelers or big trucks or anything. This is just any regular pickup trucks that we take with our staff to go to the sites. And, of course, they have their own personal equipment, their saws, their hammers and stuff like that that we use to do the framing. But we don't have any heavy equipment.
And the canopies, how would they be constructed?
There, right now, we're proposing some of them to be made out of wood. I have some pictures that they're not going to be exactly like this, but they're pretty similar on what we're talking about.
Is the ground paved?
Right now, the ground is not paved. We will have to pave it in order to meet any code requirements to get access to fire trucks and stuff like that to our buildings. It will have to be paved.
That
I think that will be part of the building permit requirements, yes.
So you did your homework?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for providing the pictures. We didn't have those in our package, so. And will that be metal on top as well, or?
We're probably going to be doing shingles right now.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Layden?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Thank you for attending and answering questions and providing pictures. All right, item 10H, discussion and possible action on a request to allow the property located at CB 40118G, Springfield Industrial Park, lot 1, 2, and 3, otherwise known as 1424 Springfield Road, Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned light industrial, to be used for the following purpose: dispatch trucks, storage of equipment, and materials. We had individuals signed up. Do
I need to stand here and ask questions?
Wait. There's not any for 10H. We're okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I thought you guys would have some questions on what we're asking for.
So you mentioned earlier about that you weren't going to have a storage of equipment.
Material, yes, ma'am.
So it does say dispatch truck, storage of equipment and materials, so there are no materials.
Well, the material currently on site right now, we're going to use for construction. Like I said, we're kind of delayed with the permits and everything else with the, you know, when initially asked for a variance of the sprinkler system being waived, it wasn't, so now we're changing tracks and so we'll see what kind of permits we need. But in the meantime, we're applying for this specific use for dispatching trucks and parking equipment trucks.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell me why material was bought for construction if the permits hadn't been passed?
Well, we were using that as far as for putting base down for the trucks and all that stuff. It hasn't been used yet. My guys, since, you know, the neighbors call the cops and whatnot, don't want to come by until we do it all at once. I mean, I waste hours, I waste a bunch of money on this land, just like the gentleman in lot 6, seeing as light light industrial. I thought we would come in and get the necessary use for the property we bought. I spent close to $900,000 on that property with material and labor and all that stuff. My guys don't want to come back because, like I said, there's certain hours they can work. Weekends, basically there's no movement at the yard or else the cops come. We've been cited by city code about our fence with the barbed wire sticking out, about pavement that needs to be paved, grass being too high. I think Kirby, the radius is maybe 10 miles at most. I'm driving around the city and I'm seeing the stuff I got cited for is going around all around Kirby. City Works, y'all's fence, the barbed wire face outward, same thing's mine, I got cited for. Animal shelter, grass is tall, I got cited for that. Clark Construction, right next to Quick Trip, their parking lot's not paved, all just like mine, I got cited for. Sprinkler system, variance got denied. Quick Trip, we had a part in building that, there's no sprinkler system there. Gentleman across the street from me, the big building, that's baseball that you're trying to put in, almost 10,000 square feet, no sprinkler system, it was waived. But then here I am trying to put in a yard just to kind of conduct business out, and I'm getting denied left and right, and I'm looking at myself like, what am I doing wrong? The only thing I can come up with is maybe the neighbors complaining of the noise and whatnot. It's a necessary evil to have a business going to construct what we need to construct. So I start really questioning myself, is it the color of my skin or the shape of my eyes? I don't know what it is.
That was an absolutely unnecessary comment.
That's how I feel.
Well, great.
Yeah. Are you aware that the state
when the argument steers towards that, so we're just ignore what he just said.
Are you aware that the state of Texas requires you to engineer the topography before you change or raise it, and that you change the water flow that floods your neighbor's property, that you're liable for that?
Actually, we have Abraham with Givler. Would you like to comment or...
This is the man you need to meet.
Good evening, Council. My name is Abraham. I'm the city stormwater compliance specialist, and I'm here to explain what a SWIP is and the requirements operators are expected to follow. The Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, also or TCEQ, issued the general permit TXR 150,000, which requires construction sites that are an acre or larger to obtain authorization of discharge. Operators can be considered a contractor, developer, property owner are required to develop a SWIP. SWIP should be site specific, and SWIP contents contain narrative description of the nature of construction activity, identify potential pollutants and sources, describe selected practices and controls, area disturbed, schedule, and as well as detailed site maps with any modifications to the topography of the site. We have an application that operators are supposed to fill out before they start construction that has all that information and is in accordance with the TCEQ requirements. Contractors are required to submit that application with their SWIP for the city to review and provide comments and feedback on it. That's all I have. If you have any questions.
Do you have an application from this gentleman behind you?
I have not received an application. I did receive a SWIP as well, although.
So he's not in compliance with the state mandates, right?
No, sir, not at the moment.
So if he's moved dirt and if he's raised it and if it is flooding about six properties, he's liable?
That would be a civil matter.
Okay. But, I mean, there's a mandate that he has to engineer it, correct?
Yes, sir. He's supposed to.
And you're supposed to have that before you move the dirt?
Correct.
Thank you.
I can answer that. I did submit. We have a SWIP compliance form on my fence. I don't know if he got it or not. Patty, I emailed to her. We do have a permit, and it is at my fence, and we have the erosion control silk fence where necessary is on the property. So I don't know, maybe the emails didn't get forward to Mr. Abraham.
But you did this prior.
It's there right now, but we stopped. No. We stopped completely.
But you did this prior to the fact that the gentleman that owns the property has to provide drainage, which is now tied up in court. So there's no drainage for that water to go to when you change the topography.
Before I bought the property, I can't comment on what he did and didn't do. Oh, I have no idea.
Well, you see, that's ignorance of that is not a defense, sir. You know, you should have checked a little bit more because it's tied up. The drainage is not there. He's been told he has to either do it or find an alternative. And well, you proceeded with raising the topography. You don't have it with this gentleman right here. This is the guy that handles everything for this county. So if you don't have it, he knows.
I understand that.
You're flooding about five properties to the west and east of you there.
Let me comment on that. Ms. Wise's fence is over my property line where he's supposed to cut that swell. He can't do anything to that fence because she...
That's what I just said, sir. So you're doing it prior to it. It can't be alleviated. You've already flooded property because you couldn't wait for them to do it. You can't jump. You're putting the cart in front of the horse.
There's no property I'm aware of that's flooded.
Oh, hello. I think there's one right there.
Okay. Well, all I know is that Ms. Wise's fence is on the property line where it's supposed to be. I don't think we would have that problem. He can't cut that swell where it's supposed to go. I think we talked about this with the city manager when we were in there.
She hasn't moved your fence for your satisfaction, sir.
He hasn't moved it.
It hasn't been moved yet.
It hasn't been moved.
Oh, well, then it's in the courts, right?
I have no idea where procedure Paul's at with Ms. Wise and her fence. I know he's the developer to set those lots where he's supposed to cut that swell, but her fence is in a way, so he couldn't cut the swell. So that might be a question we want to bring up with Paul, who's developing a lot.
My question is, why did you proceed with changing the flow of the water prior to it being cut?
I don't have an answer to that. I didn't know. I know it's not an answer you guys want to hear, but that's the honest truth. I did not know. Knowing that is L1, that's why I bought it. Otherwise, if I knew I was dealing with this mess, I would never be... We never bought it.
Well, it seems to me that the majority of the folks are still operating on the fact that San Antonio was in control when you first started. And as I told you, once we acquired the property, that if you do business here, you must adhere to our ordinances. And you kind of jumped the gun there, and you raised that a good 6 to 8 inches easily if you put all that. The base that I saw there, because I used to be with the city, I used to deal with TEQ, and exactly what, so that's why I know what the law is. And I'm telling you that you probably raised that base 6 to 7 inches, maybe 8, and you've changed the natural water flow that was there prior to it. And because the man that owned the property can't cut the swell, you can't just go ahead and change it because you want to. And you have put yourself in a liable position that, you know, should be addressed one way or another. I don't have an opinion on that. But I'm just saying, sir, what I'm trying to say the nicest way, you need to kind of dial it back a little bit and because it is flooding the houses to the east. And if I were you, I would go check that and maybe find a way to, I don't know, somehow or another, change either raise the grade to the east so it goes back to the south and the west or something of that nature.
If properties are getting flooded, this is the first time I've heard of it. Hear about it.
Okay.
We'll make that necessary. I own a construction company, so we have equipment to do that. Just kind of cut a little bit for us to know about.
If you can alleviate that, and you know, it would go a long, long ways. Honestly, listen, it has nothing to do with anything.
I'm going to run the conversation back into what we're voting on.
Yeah.
The item on the table is 10H, discussion and possible action on a request to allow the property located at CB 4018G, Springfield Industrial Park, Lot 1, 2, and 3, otherwise known as 1424 Springfield Road, Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned light industrial, to be used for the following purpose: dispatch trucks, storage of equipment. It does say materials, but Mr. Wynn has indicated it is not materials.
Well, it does have materials on here.
I understand. I'm just repeating what Mr. Wynn had said, that he said that it wasn't
application. It
doesn't. Oh,
okay.
So other than the materials that he has there that are going to be used on the property, then after they are used to finish your property, then there's not going to be any storage of material at all, either new or used.
Okay. I address City Council.
Sure.
My name is Rick Crow. I'm an attorney and also was the one that submitted the permitted use application to the city. I took a significant amount of time to put together a packet with pictures and explain in extreme detail what this place was supposed to be used for. He's right now he's at a stalemate. He needs this specific use permit. And the drawings I did provide were provided by the architect who was doing the building, and it was going to show how he has the whole thing fenced, and he's going to put a privacy guard around the whole thing so that it's not an eyesore to the rest of the people from behind him in the residential, for the residential use. But it is zoned light industrial, which incorporates both C1, C2, and as far as I could tell in analyzing the zoning, he purchased this property because it was specifically zoned light industrial, which includes being able to have a building on there. It was being able to outdoor storage or display of vehicles, equipment, supplies, and inventory, and I believe it falls squarely within that specification under C2. He's going to be using this facility as a dispatch, and he's got two different businesses that he's going to be operating out of this, subject to approval of the specific use, and then his building permits is going to be taking his trucks out of that facility and taking them over to the different material aggregate places and working on his jobs, filling up the trucks, going and depositing materials and parking his trucks back over there. This is basically going to be his home base with his office. And then the other thing that he was going to be doing, he has got a construction company, which he has large, heavy moving equipment, which he's going to be stored behind the fence. And he takes that, you know, as he gets the jobs, he takes those heavy moving equipment and moves it on location, on site, and it stays on site at location until that job is either finished, and then it's trucked back and parked on his yard. As far as the building goes, he is going to have an office space and a place that he might, a small little area to which he can do, you know, minor maintenance on the vehicles. Any kind of major maintenance will be done at facilities that are specifically designed and to handle that kind of thing. It's just, you know, oil changes and whatnot that are small little repairs. But other than that, I think that the specific use that was presented to City Council and to be considered falls squarely within the zoning and the permitting that was currently which is the current law. Thank you.
First off, I want to say to John Wynn and to the guy that is considering the concrete batch plant, perhaps you were advised improperly by Paul Daniak, or I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that you didn't do your due diligence for what on your part to understand what you would and would not be able to do to the City of Kirby's Code of Ordinances. And that's just what I'm saying. Maybe Daniak, he told us at the PNZ, he brought you here from Bernie, he convinced you to come here. So perhaps he did not mentor you correctly on what could actually be done and how things should be handled. And that's just what I want to say to you. On the property on lots 1, 2, and 3, I'm not against a dispatch center with trucks, not by any means. It's a good business. It's going to be during the day. It won't disturb us at night. Hopefully not on the weekends. You know, I don't have a problem with that. The guy wants to make a living. I can understand it, okay? But when I pull up the Bearcat information on that property, the property's description is a storage yard. I don't know exactly what that would mean since they're saying it's not going to be a storage yard, but that's how it's listed in Bearcat. As far as material, right now there's a lot of material back there. We don't know if it's contaminated. We don't know what's in the air. We don't know what happens when it rains and it floods my yard. I don't know exactly what's coming into my property, so definitely no materials. I don't want to, you know, if y'all say this is good, I don't want to have to come back and come up here and complain that there's material back there that should not be there. Equipment, that's a large array of things. We don't know exactly what it could be. I mean, right now he's got lots of heavy equipment back there. And I understand he says he's getting ready to work on his business and everything. But, you know, we need to make sure that it's not going to be a disturbance to the community where we live, to the people that are retired, that are home all day, to a child on my street that has special needs. You know, those are the kind of things that we need to be concerned with when it comes to commercial properties behind our homes. They say that, John says that they will only use the property for a dispatch center. So I'd like to inquire as to, yes, I am the person that called the police, because I've seen three times there have been vehicle transport trailers on your property picking up vehicles late at night and on the weekends. So that's something else that needs to be brought to the attention that's going on right now, that it's not being part of a dispatch center.
Can I comment on that, please? Those have been moved. The truck's going to come out when you read there. There will be no mention of vehicles.
Okay.
I don't know.
Can we see?
And if I could just touch on one more thing, it's not really part on this, but it's something that Mike Grant brought up about the yard flooding. When we had made the initial complaints because the weeds were higher than my back fence, I would usually mow that back area. Well, I guess because they had heavy equipment, they went back there, and they didn't mow it. They created another plateau, another, I guess you would, I don't know exactly what you would call it, another shelf of land. And they stopped at where my gate begins. And so they dug this shelf out where they scooped out the soil and the weeds. And so when it rains, that water flows directly down to my gate and down the south side of my property like a river, not just standing, like a river, all the way down to Buzz Aldrin. And you can see where the dirt has gone off my property. So I feel since he's done that, if he would please go back and raise that area, because in addition to the topography where he's changed himself, where his building's going to be, by that's bringing water down. But then when he scraped the property behind me, which is an easement, which is, you may have not been told that yet, but the lawyer did go down, and what is in this Wyatt fence is a utility easement. So he can't dig right in there, because that is a utility easement. That's where AT&T and Spectrum is. You'll see the locates that were behind my fence. I called to have all that located. And the lawyer did confirm when he went down to City Hall that that's what that was. So I just want to comment on that since you brought that up. But other than that, you know, we welcome new business. We want commercial business. We want tax. But we need to be very specific about what's going in behind residential properties. And that's what I have to say about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, let me get back to one of the residents that was, BJ, did you want to talk on this? No? Okay.
With regard to the lawsuit that you said that this thing has become a stalemate and this is in litigation and nobody wants to deal with this, or your city council won't deal with this until that gets resolved, as far as we can tell, it looks like that she has adverse possession over that property. So we're probably going to go and make some kind of deal with her with regard to her taking that spot where she fenced, because it's been part of our family for years and years and years. And so Mr. Wynn is going to end up having to give up a piece of property that he bought. But there's still going to be a problem with this with regard to with the plat and what was already approved with the drainage and everything that's going to happen. It's going to become her problem. So once we go and resolve this with her, they're still going to have a problem with the flooding, still going to have a problem with the drainage, and still going to have all of this. And it's not going to be Mr. Wynn's problem anymore, and it's a part of Mr. Daniak. He's going to still have the requirement to go and put in that drainage easement that was required as part of the platting. And so that's going to have to be addressed, and that will be addressed. And as far as the flooding on her property, I think it's pretty easy for somebody like that just to give him a call and say, hey, there is a problem. It doesn't need to be this contentious and hash this out in front of the public and city council. I mean, obviously he doesn't want to have flooding in somebody else's yard. He wouldn't want that in his backyard either. But, you know, being a friendly neighbor, and he's got the type of equipment that could rectify something like that very, very easily, probably within a few hours. So as far as all of the stuff that's been a problem in the past, that's going to be resolved very, very quickly with regard to the lady who's got the lawsuit on the adverse possession, because we believe, after doing the research and doing our homework and looking at the law, we believe that she qualifies under the adverse possession under three different types of laws, and so she qualifies. So he's going to give up that piece of land. Then that's going to become her problem. What's going to have to happen with her friends and those easements, because she's actually built or she's put the sheds on that easement. So it's going to kind of, I don't know if there was an unexpected result of what's going to happen by that happening, but she's the one that's going to have to address those issues.
Would you say it would be fair then that I understand exactly what you said and have no problem with that? That if we stick to the storage of the equipment, no materials, and exactly as what you said, and that he maybe can change the elevation from the east to drop back to the west on that side.
I'm assuming that's part of it. That's part of the building when he was getting the building plans and he was placing it there. Everything is basically stopped, and so since that has happened, when it comes time to building and he's putting the dollars to do all of this, he can, whatever the engineers tell him to do, that's what he's going to do. Much like having to work with Daniek and the drainage, so that goes in. I don't know how they're going to have to try to divert it on his property. They may have to do that, but I think that it's going to be the problem of the individual who owns that property that has that easement. And so, like I said, he can address any of those things. And as far as the immediate flooding, I believe that he can address that pretty quickly. And I don't know if he needs a permit to do that, but to resolve her issue, I think that could be done privately and done fairly quickly.
As far as though the city goes, would you be opposed to putting that into a written agreement and getting with our attorney?
With regard to the adverse possession?
How we're going to handle what's going to be there
actually,
and what's not?
That's something totally not on this agenda.
Okay.
We need to stick to exactly what's on this agenda item, which is we need to decide whether or not to allow the property located at CB 4018G, lot 1, 2, and 3, otherwise known as 1424 Springfield Road, Kirby, Texas, 78219, which is zoned light industrial, to be used for the following purposes: dispatch trucks, storage of equipment, and materials. Again, that's what the agenda item says. However, Mr. Wynn has said that it's not materials.
On his paperwork that he submitted to the city,
there's
specific use, headquarters office space for Big Boys Hauling and GL Construction, temporary storage of equipment and materials based on jobs at the rear of the property where they're showing that they'll have a 40-foot self-imposed buffer for allowing for mandated private drainage easement. Office will be 252 feet from rear fence, not property line. So even in the paperwork that was submitted, he's saying materials on that there.
Well, he verbally, I think he modified that application verbally. And the temporary storage of materials would, even if it was, it's not a permanent deal. He's not an aggregate materials place. He doesn't go and bring in stone and rock and have customers come in over to him and they use, come and pick up. He's not selling retail. This is specifically.
Well, no, I understand what you're saying. All we're trying to do is, if we were to go with this, is strike the word materials.
Well, material storage, I believe.
Well, material storage, yes.
Yeah.
Either with the application and the passing of this.
So when the application was filled out, the temporary material, which I'm thinking,
that's what I'm saying. So exactly, and you strike the word materials, and only add what is there will be used on the property and not be replaced with anything ever again similar or to that.
Right.
Correct. Mayor, I would make a motion we would accept this based on our attorney's statement.
Which was your statement to begin with?
Yes, sir, it was. Correct. I'm sorry. We're going back and forth. Because I would like to see business continue. I know Mr. Wynn is invested. I would believe that he would be in good faith. So go from there.
I'd like to agree. I would like to believe that. However, we've also been, I mean, I understand the good faith, but I, you know, literally have seen things that didn't happen that, Mr. Wynn, I can't see you. Sorry. I just didn't want to, you know, that you, you know, had come up here and that you said that you would do certain things. And like I said, I drive by, you know, on my way home from work, and you haven't even really established business, but we do know that, you know, there does appear to have been some business being conducted at one time or another, whether or not it ceased now. So it's almost, and of course, you know, you mentioned the code issues, and regardless of whether there's code issues in the other parts of the city, you know, being addressed that you may not know about, it still doesn't make it okay for you to do that. Just because I see someone run a stop sign doesn't mean it's okay for me to run a stop sign. So I just, you know, your analogy, I understand, you know, what that piece is, you know, where why you said that, but at the same time, it still doesn't negate the fact that you have a property that you know that you need to maintain. So that part in good faith, I'm not, you know, I'm not completely confident that if it was approved just as stated, that those guidelines would even be met, that those parameters would even be kept in place.
That's, I am addressing some of the citations to grab.
If you'd like to.
Some of the citations, I'm still addressing it. We have a court date in November with the courthouse about some citations that were cited. Grass was long, I cut, and I paid the fine for. And our yard is got on a regular maintenance program where the grass person do come by and cut it, or I'm investing into a little John Deere mower that, you know, my brother or somebody can come by and just cut the yard. So we are trying to be in compliance, and we are trying to be a good neighbor, and I will fix. If your property's getting flooded, we got equipment to do that. Like I just mentioned earlier, that this is the first time I've heard of it, and it's just a simple problem to fix. So that's all I got to say.
I'd like to address one more thing. Did City Council were y'all able to look at the pictures that were provided with the artist renderings that the architect submitted when we submitted it with the application?
Okay, I was about to say, we've got pictures, but I don't know if they're the same that you were.
Yeah, I'm the one that submitted the application.
I mean, I don't know that what we're looking at is what you submitted. I can only presume that it's everything that you Okay.
Because it's very specific. I mean, we had those drawings specifically done by the architect so that City Council would be able to look what the yard was actually going to look like and what the building was going to look like, where it was going to be positioned on the property, where most likely all of his heavy moving equipment was going to be stored away from the residential area. And so a lot of that was done specifically. We even talked about if you know, it was a concern by some of the citizens that, you know, since it is an entry to Kirby, he might even be willing to put some kind of sign out there, but since it's going to be a privacy fence, it's going to be a guard to prevent people from being able to look in, to help try to beautify it. So, I mean, it's, you know, that's a big problem with the industrial, you know, stigma that, you know, it's right next to, you know, he's keeping it clean as far as when you look at the property. The rest of the property is overgrown. It's not his property is going to be neat and behind gates and behind privacy. So I think some of the things that City Council needs to consider is what it actually is going to look like once everything is done, once the permits are approved, and once the building goes up. It's going to look like a first-class establishment. It's not going to just be willy-nilly, fly by the seat of your pants. He runs an organization, and he's got good business, and he's got good clients, and he's all over South Texas with this stuff.
And I researched, you know, that too, so I'm aware of, you know, those things. things that your, you know, your business is. But like I said, my biggest concern is you're make, you know, you did say about when the building is built, you know, that it will be this and it'll be that. But before the ground has even been laid to the foundation, we're already having issues that are relatively simple. I mean, it's simple to cut your grass. It's simple to not have, you know, weeds growing outside the fence. Those are things, in my opinion, you know, those are things that are easy to be done. And the fact that...
Would you not agree that once you learn of these things, that it's possible that you can rectify and then and have the type of recourse or the types of things that you could do to correct these things?
This is what I'm saying, because this isn't a trial, so I know you're going to go there, but that's my concern. I mean, you were cited for these, you know, certain things, so it's just the upkeep. That's my concern, that even when it is, that it's still not going to be kept, or that it's not going to be maintained exactly as, you know, it's been put on the table for.
Can you explain to me where you're going to use the base material and the asphalt and the concrete?
Well, if the building plans are approved, there's gonna have to be a slab that's gonna be in the pictures, and there's gonna be the base material is gonna be the driveways for where the trucks are gonna drive in and then for where they park, because that kind of material does not move. It's able to be driven on and I believe that if you see from the pictures that were provided to you, it's almost self-explanatory, because there's going to be concrete from where the building is and surrounding the buildings and where the cars are going to park. There's going to be base material where the trucks and the heavy moving equipment are going to be stored. Other than that, it's going to be an open yard with a privacy fence around it.
When you're saying privacy fence, are you talking about the fence that has the plastic over the metal fences?
Well, it's a metal fence. No, it's the metal fence that's already existing. But if you drive around and look at any
chain link fence,
it's a chain link fence. But
plastic,
if you
on the other side.
No, not plastic. If you've ever gone and seen any of the construction sites, they're required to put up the privacy so that people can't see through, and it's also for besides privacy, it's also for safety purposes. So it's a it's called attractive nuisance. It also provides privacy to them so that they can conduct their business within there. But also, if the kids are walking by, they don't see something. Look, there's a big heavy moving equipment. I'm going to hop the fence and go and try to mess with it. That's all part of it. And if you see it, it's what's the name of that stuff? It's a black mesh screen that goes around. You see them almost on every single construction site. A lot of times they'll have logos of the construction company that's actually building the buildings or doing the construction.
This doesn't pass. What does it do with the CFO?
Well, right now he
put. But there isn't one.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. What if this doesn't pass? What does this? How does this hinder the CFO process?
Our ordinance is anything in a light industrial zone must obtain a use permit. So we would not be able to issue
a CFO
. See, we're at the point right now, you know, as she described, is we have to get the specific use permit for the building plans to be evaluated and get the building permit to be issued. So, you know, we talked about the cart before the horse. We're trying to get our ducks in a row now so that we can move forward and so that we can show that we're doing things right, we're correcting things, and that's one of the reasons why I was hired, was to help him navigate this area so that we do everything correctly. And that was one of the reasons why I did take the time for the specific use, so that hopefully some of the questions would be answered specifically on the application, and that's why I provided the pictures as well.
Well, all I can say to the council is this. I mean, we have kind of like two choices. Either we allow him to move forward, or this property sits there and stagnates. I mean, that's just, you know, if you have a problem with his word, I understand that more than anything.
But again, if we're going to progress with this city and we're going to progress with things, like I say, either we stop it right here and he is just stuck with a big white elephant, or with this gentleman here, and I would prefer it in writing, take it in writing and go forward. I think we ought, maybe, how about this? Why don't we, I'll withdraw my motion, and I'll make a motion that we table this, and maybe you, Mayor, and Monique, and this gentleman here can sit down and iron out a firm agreement, and then we'll bring it back.
The whole thing in a nutshell is mainly that the water that's coming down and going through our citizens' property line, I mean, if they would just fix that, then, you know, we can move forward. But apparently they haven't even tried to do that.
Well, he, in all defense, and I'm not even sure, but he said he just has been aware of it and that he would do it. And that's what I'm saying. If we table this, let that be taken care of. Let our city manager, the mayor, and this gentleman.
However, an agreement can't be made if something isn't passed.
Exactly.
So I'm not comfortable meeting with anyone to make an agreement, and the, I mean, because it's not being voted on. There's no agreement to be made at this point because nothing has been approved.
Mayor, the ordinance, the section of the specific use permit ordinance, when it discusses what the council can do, says that, in part, says the city council may approve or disapprove the application or make conditions of approval upon such additional reasonable restrictions and conditions as it deems appropriate. So, one way to potentially address the concerns that some citizens have made over not just this evening but prior meetings is to look at a possible action tonight that would approve the use as a dispatch facility for trucks and for storage of equipment, with the condition about the use of the material only being on site, and such other reasonable conditions that hopefully could address some of the concerns that the council has heard. As the council knows, the practice of the city is to first take this vote at a meeting like this, and then bring the item back for action on an ordinance to actually amend the zoning ordinance to approve the use. So this vote is a preliminary vote that gives an indication to the applicant and the public what the council is inclined to approve or what conditions the council is inclined to provide. This is come to the council with a recommendation from the Zoning Commission to deny the application for the specific use permit, override that recommendation from the Zoning Commission under the City Zoning Code and the Local Government Code, will require 6 votes for a motion that would be to do something other than to deny the application. So I think that information, I hope, is helpful to the council in the next step. Mr. Grant made a motion and withdrew it. He made a motion to the table.
Okay, if there's no second, that motion dies. So we need another motion. From anyone.
Well, whether it gets six votes or not, I guess we just need to move forward some way.
I think we need to... I think we should move ahead on this.
I do.
With stipulations.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You want me to try or you want to try? I would make a
motion. You go first and I'll correct you.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we accept this with the stipulations. One, that only the material on site be used to finish the yard out.
Yes.
No other material will ever be stored there again similar or any type like that. The second stipulation would be that Mr. Wynn corrects the flooding to the drainage from the east side into the neighbor's yard there. And really and truly, that's the two things I think we need to address the most.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to allow the property located at CB 4018G Springfield Industrial Park, lots 1, 2, and 3, otherwise known as 1424 Springfield Road, Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned light industrial, to be used for the following purpose: dispatch trucks, storage of only material on site,
And equipment. Yes.
But no new material will be brought in.
Correct.
Is that the motion?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Oh, and the drainage.
And
repair the drainage.
What about operating hours?
The operating hours are established.
Yes.
We have those established already.
All right, so we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge. And as our... Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge. And as...
And Mayor, I mean,
I was about to say, you know you're going to ask something.
...happens if a specific use permit is issued, is that the applicant is required to accept in writing and agree to be bound by and comply with the terms of the along the lines of Grant's motion, then and ultimately a specific use permit ordinance is adopted, it will include these specific conditions, and the permit will not be issued unless the applicant signs to agree to comply with those requirements.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to get to earlier. I got you now. Thank you, sir.
All right. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Altadaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
No. All right. Well, there will be a lot of paperwork going on. All right, thank you.
Thank you
for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right, item 10I, discussion and possible action on request to allow the property located at CB 4018G Springfield Industrial Park, Lot 6, otherwise known as 1456 Springfield Road, Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned light industrial, to be used for the following purpose: operating a concrete batch plant business on the property. BJ, did you want to talk on anything?
Hey, I'm BJ Voigt. I have lived in Kirby 58 years. The question I have is, at the last meeting, you say that you buy your concrete from Vulcan. If you would decide to put in a concrete plant with a 55-foot silo, how many other companies are you going to bring in to buy the concrete from you? Is it one? Are you going to be the only one that could that will be using that, because concrete is not a Monday through Friday 8 to 5 job. I was in construction for over 25 years. Concrete comes all hours of the night, just depends on when you need it. But what my one question, if it was just be your own business, not 100 other trucks coming in to get concrete, that you're going to charge a lower amount so those people do not have to purchase their concrete from Vulcan. So I am against it for that reason, because I feel like there's going to be more than just his business. He's going to be outsourcing to other businesses. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, and we did hear from Mr. Lopez on the public hearing.
Oh, I wanted to answer that question.
If you want to address that, let me open the item up real fast. Oh, I did. Never mind. Go ahead. Go ahead. Just take the podium, please.
Oh, yes, ma'am. To answer your question, there's going to be no other companies coming in. We're going to be the ones delivering our own concrete. And this is the reason I want to do this, because we only have 3 trucks running right now. It's my dad, my brother, and I. You know, it's a family-based business. And we're buying almost $1 million worth of concrete to, like you mentioned, Vulcan, Ingram, Alamo, you know. And this is the reason. This is like our next step, you know, in our job, in our work, you know, that we want to be at. It's create our own material, you know, have our own material instead of buying it from other companies and reselling it, you know. And if I have to, and yes, you're right, a lot of big companies, they're early hours, but those are jobs, because I worked those early hours. Not too long ago, we did a HEB distribution center, and we helped that company pour. I mean, we were working from like 1 a.m. to 1 p.m., you know. They are early hours, I'm not going to lie. But even at that, starting my business, we can't handle jobs that big, because it accumulates a lot of trucks. We don't have the workforce to do that. But as far as for the, you know, worrying about starting at 2 or 3 a.m., that's not going to happen. We don't have the workforce. I'm saying later, when we grow, and, you know, maybe we could have another place. Maybe it won't be here. Maybe we'll have two locations. Maybe we could do the big jobs from there or something. But if that's gonna be an issue, you know, I mean, I could start, you know, we could start a business later. The like right now, when we pour, my day starts at 5. My first pour is at 7 a.m. You know, that's like, but before that, it's not gonna happen. But you're right. I mean, there are, you know, early hours. Are there any other questions I could?
The only thing, I've been around these other concrete places that are close to us, and you got a dust problem.
Yes, sir.
I don't see on anywhere on the God's green earth that you're going to stop that dust problem.
That's something that
we know. Most everybody in Kirby has dust on their windows every morning from this concrete block place, and that's outside of Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
So this being right in Kirby, you're going to have that dust problem heavy every day.
Well, all I can say, sir, with all due respect, you know, the dust, it can't be stopped, but it can be controlled. And I know this because, you know, I go to various different companies, and I mentioned this on the last meeting. They have, like, sprinklers on their material. They just throw, like, just a light thing of water just to control the, you know, the dust. That could be controlled. It can't be stopped, but it can be controlled. And then the silos, they have built-in filters, you know, especially all this equipment. That's why they're worth, you know, $250,000 for this equipment, because, you know, they're made better a lot less quieter. I'm not saying like completely quiet, but you know, to run a lot less smoother. And they have built-in filters and even at that, when it's installed, there's like another I don't know what they call it, but as you mix in the truck, all the dust is like kind of like a vacuum is sucking it in once you pour in it, so it minimizes the, you know, the dust. Like I said, it could be controlled. I don't know about, you know, completely stopping it, but that's something that on a daily basis it can't be controlled.
Have you done your research and read any of our city ordinances concerning your silo that you want to build?
My research on what? I think y'all is like 30 feet, I think the max.
Yep.
But I put a, yeah.
Discussion of possible action on a request to allow the property located at CB 4018 Springfield Industrial Park, Lot 6, otherwise known as 1456 Springfield Road, Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned light industrial, to be used for the following purpose: operating a concrete batch plant business on the property. And as it was mentioned during our public hearing, there is an ordinance O-2012-720, which section 5510 prohibits a concrete batch plant in the city of Kirby. Can I make a motion? You can make a motion.
Mayor, I would like to deny the action on the request to allow the property located at CB 4018G Springfield Industrial Park, Lot 6, otherwise known as 1456 Springfield Road, Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned light industrial, to be used for the following purpose: operating a general concrete batch on the property.
Second. We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to deny the property to be used as a concrete batch plant. Is there any other discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember
Wilson? Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember
Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember
Opadaka?
Yes.
Councilmember Naaman?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce? Yes. Mr. Lopez, I did want to thank you for coming out here this evening, and I'm glad that you had not purchased that property for that
specific property. Yes, ma'am. I wanted to you know, do the right steps, the right procedures. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But, you know, thank you for your time, and God bless you.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
You too.
You too.
So Jay is new, right?
You mean, yeah.
So item 10J, discussion and possible action on request on variance to the zoning ordinance section 153.020 to allow the construction of a new silo that is approximately 55 feet in height and exceeds the maximum height limit located at CB 4018 Springfield Industrial Park, Lot 6, otherwise known as 1456 Springfield Road, Kirby, Texas 78219. The concrete batch plant did not pass, so therefore this item, yes.
Null and void.
There's, correct.
Good, thank you.
Item 10K, discussion and possible action on appointing a member to the Beautification and Recycle Committee. There is one vacancy on the committee. I do not have any applications here. All right, so we will move to 10L. Discussion and possible action on appointing alternate members to the Building and Standards Commission. There are three alternate vacancies on the commission. I do not have any here. All right. Item 10M, discussion and possible action on appointing members to the Kirby Senior Center Corporation Board. I do have an application.
Are you serious?
Yes. And this is for BJ Voigt.
Woohoo!
So the senior manager had given me this before the meeting, so BJ does have an application in.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the application for BJ Voigt to the Senior Center Committee.
Second.
There was a whole bunch of...
So, Pro Tem, can you word that a little differently to appoint Ms. Voigt to the board?
Yes. I would like to amend my...
Motion,
thank you. I had a grant moment. amend my motion to appoint Ms. BJ Voigt to the Senior Center.
Motion forward.
Say that again. Oh, Senior Center Corporation Board.
Thank you. And who seconded it?
Layman?
Jerry.
All right. Well, y'all all answered at once.
So,
Mayor Pro Tem, motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Layman, to appoint BJ Voigt to the Kirby Senior Center Corporation Board.
What's the term limit?
42 years.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's forever. Just pick one. Which one, the longest one?
Does from 2 years from today?
Yes.
All right. That's 21, in case anybody was wondering. All right, is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Yes.
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 Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Nguyen?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right.
That's unusual.
Hey, Senior Center Board, you got another member.
It's raining.
Well, that's why.
All right. 10N. Discussion and possible action appointing up to 4 members to a charter review commission.
Sure.
I do have one that was given to our city secretary before the meeting. Roger Romans has put in an application for the appointment to the charter review commission. I will entertain a motion.
I make a motion we accept Mr. Romans.
Second. Give it to Wilson.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to appoint Roger Romans to the Charter Review Commission. There are 4 vacancies currently. The other 3 that have already been appointed are Stephanie Faulkner, Mary Lawler, Jean Manning. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. And then there were 4.
Now we're down to 3.
Still 3 more. All right, item 10O, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2019-871, designating the official city newspaper for publication of matters pertaining to the city of Kirby. This would be the second reading. The first reading was passed on October 10, 2019, to use the Northeast Herald as the official paper.
Mayor, I'd like to accept the action on ordinance number O-2019-871, designating the official city newspaper for publication of matters pertaining to the city of Kirby.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to accept ordinance number O-2019-871, designating the Northeast Herald as the official city newspaper for publication of matters pertaining to the city of Kirby. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember, excuse me,
Yes. Ordinance number O-2019-871 passes for the second reading. Ten P. Discussion and possible action to change the date of November 28th regular council meeting to November 21, 2019, due to Thanksgiving. I will entertain a motion.
Thanksgiving right here. What? Fry up a turkey, bring a keg. We got it made.
Is that your motion?
Is that your motion, Mike?
No.
I will entertain a motion to move the date.
I make a motion we change the date to the 21st.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Lehman, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to change the date of November 28, 2019, regular council meeting to November 21, 2019. Is there any discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor Pierce. Yes. So everybody mark your calendar, November 21. Don't be here on Thanksgiving.
Fine, put it on your calendar.
All right. 10Q, discussion and possible action on a request from St. Joan of Arc Catholic Church to waive food booth permit fees for their October 27th, 2019 festival.
Yes.
How many booths are we talking about?
There's a total of 11. I actually, Mr. De La Pena had actually reached out to me, and I had actually told him to contact here because I believe that the city manager could do that. So. Oh, no, you're fine. And I was about to tell you that he did send me an email as well to let him know that he was unable to be here this evening, but that he was sending a representative in his place.
Yes. Thank you. Good evening, Caribbean Council. Kirby Councilman and Mayor. We just wanted to see if we would get a waiver. We're going to have our fall festival. We're trying to get our parking lot. Well, the parking lot's done. We have foundation problems, so we're trying to raise money. I want to see if they can waive the fee on the food booths. We're going to have actually about 8 food booths, and they're going to be outside. There's more on the item, but it's like we have a haunted house and like a trash and treasure, and I think the others. Some games for the kids. So we want to see. We had asked for one in the spring, and it was accepted, so he sent me in his place. So thank you for your cooperation.
Mayor, I'll make a motion. We waive it.
Sorry.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Lehman, to accept the request from St. Joan of Arc Catholic Church to waive food booth permit fees for their October 27th, 2019 festival. Date 10 of them.
Right. So I just want to be clear that we will still have to have each individual food booth inspector.
Correct.
And we will pay the health inspector for each booth. So we'll, you know, this way we'll issue them one, but it will be at the city's expense.
What is the normal fee?
We charge $50 to the customer, and the health inspector charges us $20.
Right. So it's
$160. So it's still a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Lehman. Is there any other discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll? Oh, okay, there's discussion.
Who's put it?
Okay, Councilmember Grant and I, we have come to an agreement that, so we pay the health inspector how much?
20.
And so how much is that total?
160.
Well, I bring down 11, so $220, but we're saying you're only going to have 8.
It's going to be 8 or 11.
It's good. The rest of them are non-food. We have about eight food, and then the other 4 non-food.
Okay. Councilmember Grant and I will donate that to pay the health inspector. We'll split it.
Thank you.
You bet.
Okay.
Welcome to come out there.
Big fried turkey and beer, right?
Brisket tacos.
Do that.
Just look for me.
It's another snow vote.
Well,
yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'll withdraw.
Okay, so Councilmember Grant withdraws his motion.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you withdraw your second?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I make a motion that Councilmember Grant and I, Mayor Pro Tem Aldrich, donate the fee to pay the health inspector for the food booth for this event for St. Joan of Arc on October 27th of 2019.
Second.
Right, we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Grant. Is there any discussion?
There's discussion for me.
Right, so okay.
The bill doesn't address the issue of waiving the food booth permit fee.
Yeah, we've got to do that. Oh, I see what you're saying.
That.
The motion that the Mayor Pro Tem made is simply committing you to make a payment.
Okay, I withdraw my motion, and I didn't.
Isn't that what I just said?
Yeah. Mayor, I make a motion we waive the fees.
No, you make a motion to deny, and then you and I pay it.
No, no, we got to waive them.
Bingo.
That would be the appropriate wording if that's the intent of the two folks who made the motion second.
Exactly what he said is the motion I make.
Yeah.
Okay. I just need a second, folks.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to waive the fees for St. Joan of Arc Catholic Church for the food booth permit fees. However, they will be picked up by Councilmember Grant and Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
You okay, Julie?
Yes.
Yes.
Be very careful out there.
Listen, folks.
Not at their event. She said they were going home. I just. Yes. Item 10R, discussion and possible action on the 2018 Street Bond Project Phase 1. Do you want to? I wasn't sure if you were taking that or Gilbert.
So we talked about the Street Bond Project Phase 1 last meeting, and so just an update on that. That contract was awarded to JMP Paving, and that is to do the side street coming off of Ackerman Road. It includes four of those feeder streets. The contract amount was $152,002.94. There is a request from the company and our City Engineer Craig Wilson sent that over to us, requesting a change order in the amount of $28,748.49, which would take the contract to a total amount of $180,751.43. The rationale for that is that if they say that there is addition to the base work that would be beneficial to allow the streets to last the full life cycle, full expected life cycle. Without these repairs, the streets will likely not last the expected lifespan. The work at the intersection of Peppermint and Gaiety will fix the ponding issue in the intersection and allow water to freely flow to the west. In inquiring from them why that wasn't included initially, the explanation was that when they did the design of this particular project, they didn't include geotechnical work. And so that would have discovered that.
Well, when they shut the bridge.
Right. So when they're out, okay. The contractor was preparing to start is when they discovered.
That's not much of a difference.
Is this not the second issue that they've come back to us with?
No, this is the first one on this
one.
Another one that was 20,000.
Yeah.
And but they just didn't shut the bridge. You know, if there's an inquiry about about where this would be funded from. If you recall, the bond, the total bond project was approved for about $6.8 million. That money is in the bank, which is accruing interest. So
we'll make that off the interest.
Right, and there's actually enough money to pay for it with that.
Okay. Yeah, we're good to go there for once.
All right, so I will entertain a motion, and if whoever makes the motion, if you can read the dollar amounts as well.
Mayor, I make a motion we accept the change order from J&P Paving Company to increase the amount $28,748.49. This would bring the grand total to $180,751.43.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to accept the change order in the amount of $28,748.49 for a total contract amount of $180,751.43. Is there any discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Alvarez?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And now that they have that, how soon will they?
So we're going to give them approval, then we're ready to issue their notices.
Okay.
They don't need notice, so we'll inform them tomorrow and see what day they can go out.
Okay. All right. So now we will move to item 11, executive session. So at this time, I will close our open meeting at 9:47. Item 11, executive session, is deliberation on review, evaluation, duties, discipline, or dismissal of the city manager. Possible executive session pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.074, personnel matters. Regular meeting, the open session back up Thursday, October 24th at 11:30. No action was taken in executive session. Move to item 12, requests and announcements. Start with Councilmember Grant.
No, ma'am. Thank you.
Councilmember Pierce.
Nothing at this time.
Councilmember Apodaca.
Yes.
Councilmember Layman. Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge.
Yes. I have seen over the past week that there have been comments made on the City Kirby community page, and I think some of the, the comments and stuff are good, but I've also seen where citizens have commented on issues and said that there needs to be a change to our city, and if we have citizens that think that or that want to see a change, I encourage them in February to come get an application and run for office. And thank you for everybody that has come out tonight and stayed with us till 11:30 tonight. Be careful going home.
Councilmember Wilson?
I do. I have several pages of stuff to do. First, I'd like to see the road on Edlin off of Seguin. When you take a right-hand turn, the road is just crumbling there again, like right where Via Bus comes through. I'd like to see that taken care of. And I'd like to thank BJ for her Christmas gift for the Blue Santa. I know that that's an important part of the city of Kirby. I've done it for 18 years. And usually every year we did 30 or 35 kids and had a party, and that was an important part. And another part that I'd really like to encourage is people to get onto the charter. You complain about things that need to be changed and stuff. Well, the charter's where you need to be. If you want to change for the city of Kirby, you need to get on to the charter thing. And then, last but least, if you've driven down my street today, you've noticed my house is up for sale.
So I am resigning from the position of the City of Kirby Council as of November the 21st. I would like to take this opportunity to thank everybody.
You're not going. You're not going anywhere. We're not taking it.
It's been difficult as working with the City of Kirby for 18 years and then its residents allowing me to serve as council. I've enjoyed working with the citizens of the residents and my colleagues for the City of Kirby. But with this said, I'm excited about the new undertaking that Gary and I are about to take on building a new home. And with this said, I would like the council to consider my nomination for Sid Sanders Sr. to fill my position.
Well, I'll take Sid, but you're not leaving.
My bags are packed.
I don't care.
There's something else you want to say, too.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
This Sunday, Kirby Baptist Church is having a fall festival and invite everybody to come out. Everything at Kirby is for free.
All right. So Debbie, we'll be sad to see you go. We'll obviously need to put that on the next agenda. If we can just get on the Vinecrest and Autumn that Mr. Martin talked about, if we can just address that, or I know that Gilbert talked about that, but just to figure out if there's anything that can be done with that piece of it. The Republic Service Ordinance, I just wanted to mention that since Chris had mentioned that this evening. Not only is that ordinance has some disparities there, there's also about the placement of the bins as well. So that's something that will have to be addressed anyway when the ordinance. However, I would prefer that we wait till, since there is conversation surrounding recycling, I'd rather us make sure that Republic Services is here so that we get it, so that we can, if we make those changes to the ordinance, that we do at one time rather than having to amend and cost the city more money via our attorney. So again, Debbie, I'm sad to see you leave, but I'm absolutely ecstatic for you and Gary. Kirby Baptist Church, that was already mentioned. Also, there's an event at St. Joan of Arc. And I, too, want to thank BJ for the donations to the different various city departments. And also, although they've left already, I think that the Boy Scouts is a great thing, and the Eagle Scouts, and I'm glad that they've chosen again to use those projects here. So, is there anything else? All right, we'll adjourn. Thank you, everybody, for staying.